Good morning. Welcome to worship. Ooh, now I am on. Sorry, let's try that again. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us on this beautiful day. I know I stepped out and it was 40-something degrees, and I was like, this is nice. If you like summer, don't worry. Next, you know, like this coming week's supposed to get back up to 80s, but otherwise, you know, I'm enjoying it, but I like fall. But yeah, today we're going to be reflecting upon, as Jesus puts it, the cost of discipleship. And so encouraging everyone to listen to what God has to say today. But I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, beginning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you call us to be your own, that you invite us to be your children, and that you daily pour into us the support that we need for this body and life. And so, Lord, we pray that each day we would spend time with you. Each day we would listen for how you are guiding us, for your ways are life and your ways are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me. And so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Kevin Chigg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20. Moses is speaking with the Israelites before they enter the promised land. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and wasn't able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. All right. Well, good morning, boys and girls. I want to read another verse from you from the first reading, where it says, "If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live." So, raise your hand if you can tell me what one of the commandments of God are. What you got? Do not steal. Okay, yeah? Yeah, go ahead, Lily. Do not hurt each other. You can roll with that. Yeah.
Do not lie.
Do not lie. Yeah.
Listen to your mother and
father. Yeah, listen to your mother and father. Honor your father and mother. Good. Anything else? Yeah.
Do not murder.
Do not murder. Yeah. Yes.
Include others.
Say that again.
Include others.
Include others? Yeah. Be nice to others. Good. Yeah. Did you forget? Yeah? I love you too, Isla. Good. Yeah, so these are all good commandments. And so in the reading that I just read to you today, it says if you follow God's commandments, if you love God with all your heart, if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you do these things, you will live. Do you know this? And this is an important thing to keep in mind for the entirety of your life, that God tells you to do things in life because it's for your benefit, because by doing this, you will live. And you will have life. So let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you so much for teaching me how to live every day. Help me to follow your rules and love other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. For age 4 to 4th grade, you may go follow the cross with your parents' permission to go to Little Worship. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My freshman year at Concordia Chicago, my friends and I, just about every Tuesday, went to Buffalo Wild Wings. We loved that Tuesday deal of, I forget what it was, probably like 40 cents a wing or something. And we would go there every single time. And part of why I'm mentioning this is because a debate happened far too many Tuesdays regarding what type of programming we felt was appropriate for ESPN, Entertainment Sports Entertainment and Sports Programming Network. And part of this really, it all revolved around poker. Now, I don't want to get into a debate whether or not poker should be considered a sport or something that should be on ESPN, but I did find it intriguing as I watched poker more and more. I realized that the professionals, it's not all about luck and getting lucky with a hand, and then, you know, when you get a lucky hand, you go all in, but there's way more mental work that goes on with every single hand, because you know at least the standard way, if you're familiar with poker, is Texas Hold'em. You get two cards, you look at them, you decide if you want to raise the bet at all, and then if everybody's still in or whoever's still in, you get three cards and you look and see, okay, let's bet again, and you kind of factoring that of what you have, what you see out there, what you think others have, and then another card and then another card. And with all of this, then, there's so much mental calculation that takes place. A calculation on what you have, calculation on what you see, calculation of what you're hoping, expecting to possibly come out, calculation on what you think the other person or other people have. And after all of this calculation, then you bet how you bet, and if you're really confident in your calculations, then maybe, just maybe, you decide, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to take everything that I still have money-wise sitting in front of me. I've calculated everything, I've counted the costs, and I've said, you know what? I'm all in. And this is what came to my mind as I was reading through our reading from Luke today. It says, now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Sounds like a good way to get the crowd to be on your side right there. But Jesus is talking about the reality of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and really what it means to be a follower of the true God. He goes on to say, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, I'd venture to guess that those who were in his presence hearing that might have been a bit confused, but we know how it is that Jesus did carry a cross that ultimately led to his death. And he's saying, if you want to be my disciple, you want to be my apprentice, you want to be my follower, the way that I am going, you have to be ready to go. There's a lot of things in life that are going to pull you away and distract you and say, focus on that more than me. And yet you cannot be a follower of Jesus unless you are ready to say, anything else, even my own relationships that God has blessed me with and entrusted me with and given me a responsibility with, even all those are nothing compared to following Jesus, and everything else, if need be abandoned. Jesus goes on to say, which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down, count the cost, whether you have enough to complete it? Sadly, I've seen many derelict buildings that were half built, and how sad it is. But the reality is that for those who are saying we will follow Jesus, we are his disciple, Jesus is saying, be mindful of all that it requires of you. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first, deliberate whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, anyone who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to be all in. There's a lot of different metaphors in the Bible that God talks about his relationship with his people. And one of the common ones is a marriage relationship where you have Christ and his bride, the church. And again, if you think about the dynamics between a husband and wife, you cannot have it where one is all in and committed to that relationship and the other, not so much. It doesn't work out that way. For one individual to say, well, whatever it is that I do with my time, I will do that how I desire, and, you know, I'll give you whatever little bit I have left, I guess, that's necessary. Or I'm going to take all the money that I've earned and use it for my own enjoyment and well-being, and you, my spouse, you get, whatever is left, if there's something there for you. That is not dynamics for a healthy and good relationship. But in a similar way, it is not healthy and good for us to say to our God, God, I know that you're all in my life. Look what you have done. You have created me. You died on the cross to redeem me. You sent your Holy Spirit to enliven me, to guide me, to know your truth. And yet, despite you being all in our relationship, God, I'm going to give just a little bit back to you. How does that sound? Is that good? We cool? Or I was thinking about it. So I enjoy watching NFL football, and that's just started up now. And there was the game on Thursday. There was the bonus game on Friday that's not usually there. There's three games today, and there's a game tomorrow night. And if I wanted to, and I wanted to watch 6 games. Each game is about 3.5 hours of time commitment. I could actually spend 21 hours of my life this week watching football. Now, would I do that and not spend even 20 hours this week with God in worship, in Bible study, reading my Bible, praying? How do you spend your time throughout your week? And is it reflective of one who says, I am all in following Jesus? Or to describe the dynamics a little bit differently, as you think about a family. Because you could have a family where the only time that they actually kind of see each other is at the family meal. Because you got to eat, right? And so they come together, but each is kind of going at his own pace. No one is talking to each other whatsoever. And as soon as one is done, they get up and leave and go back about their business. And when there is something in that family that's going on, as far as like somebody, you know, is in a sport activity or music activity or whatever it might be, people begrudgingly go to what they're told they must go to. And another metaphor that the Bible talks about is how the body of Christ is a family. How well do you know your family? When you gather for meals together, do you also take time to talk to each other and get to know each other and what's going on? Are you excited and rejoicing when others are rejoicing? Are you sad and grieving with others who are grieving? Or does it look a little bit more disjointed? Are you all in the family of God? Or does it look a little bit different? And these are all the things that I was thinking about when it comes to when Jesus says, you got to count the cost of what it means to be a follower of me. Do you live in such a way that shows that this dynamic and relationship between the one who has made you, informed you, and shaped you, and sanctified you, and redeemed you from slavery of sin, is that what is first and foremost in your life? As you think of how you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you use the gifts and talents which God has given you, are they for the service of others? Are they for the service of God? Or is it strictly for your own enjoyment and delight? Yet how different it is when you are all in. How different it is when you do know that the God who has made you and redeemed you has entrusted you with these things. It's like a marriage where you have the two individuals who have a shared goal and mission, and they are working together for that good, and they are mutually supporting each other, caring for the needs of others. It's like a family who delights every opportunity to come together and share about what is going on in their lives, going on in their day, and saying, this is what is awesome and good. How about for you? And they go with joy to support the ventures, the sporting events, the music events, the whatever it is that's going on for the other family members. They go with joy and cheer them on. Yes! How blessed and good it is when you are all in. You know what it's like? It's a little bit like what Moses says here. When he says, see, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over, the Jordan, to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him. For he is your life and the length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Choose life, that the Holy Spirit at work within you might guide you to this venture. Do not be satisfied by saying, it is enough what little it is that I give to the relationship between my God and myself. But rather ask for yourself, God, what would you desire of me? What would you desire for me in reading your word? What would you desire of me in gathering with fellow Christians and studying your word? What would you desire for me of prayer? What would you desire of me of supporting the needs of others around me? What would you desire of me for talking to the people that have gathered together as the body of Christ? And it's going to cost you something. Because following Jesus has a cost to it. It's not simply 1 hour of your life once a week, but it is more than that. It is everything. Because the God who has given you the very breath that you breathe says, I am a jealous God. Jealous because he is the only entity who has a right to have the place in your life of God as the thing that you have the most devotion and love to, as the entity above all else that you respect, as the entity above all else that you put your trust in. God is jealous because he knows that the best thing for you in life is when you set things right and put him in the place of God and do not put yourself, do not put other people, and do not put stuff there. He is jealous for you because it's best for you. Because he loves you. Because his desire for you is life and good things. And he has shown you the way of that. And it's by being all in. By counting the cost of what your God desires for you and asks of you, and committing fully to that. So again, this day I encourage you, take a look at your life. Take a good look at your life and say, how much time do you spend in this relationship that is the most important? How much time do you spend in relationship with other Christians? How much time do you spend with them together looking at God's word? I invite all of you to consider attending Bible study if you do not. Count the cost of discipleship. Follow where your Heavenly Father leads you and go all in. And in doing so, you will have life, life abundant. Amen.
I love thee, I know thou art.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today asking for your guidance. Pray that you would guide us to how it is that we can best follow you, and if necessary, even bearing our own cross, following you even to the point of death. We pray that you help us to endure any trials that we might face, that we might know how it is that you are with us, that you love us, that you guide us, and that you care for our needs. Lord, we pray that you would be with Pastor Bob and Janine as they're enjoying time in Europe with their son Jesse. Continue to bless their travels and help them to get home safely when that time comes. Lord, we also pray for all those who are mourning the loss of Betty McMullen, who passed away yesterday. We thank you that she is with you, and pray that you give comfort to all those who are mourning the loss, that they might know that this is just a temporary time away, but that they will see Betty again because she is in you. All these things we pray in your Son's holy name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
The sun and the stars, the land and the sea.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. A couple announcements that I have for you today. First, this Friday, Wendy Sue is coming at 9 a.m., so join us for a joyful and engaging morning concert. This concert is especially designed for young children, so we invite all the congregation members to bring your grandchildren, little ones to sing, dance, and celebrate with us. But it's not just for kids. Anyone who is young at heart and loves music and praising Jesus is welcome to come and join the fun. Come be a part of a morning filled with energy, laughter, and the love of Jesus through music. Again, that's at 9 a.m. this Friday. At this time, I want to dismiss any children who are going to Sunday school. Can go ahead and meet our DC Lauren Bates there in the back. Next, I kind of push a little plug for Bible studies. I got a couple of Bible studies I want to put on your radar. One of them is going to be starting up in 2 weeks from today, and so I got a video to share about that, and I'll talk a little more about that. All right. So Janine Liebman is going to be teaching that study starting up in 2 weeks on Sundays right after church. At this time, I also like to invite Megan Dinas, our principal, to come up. She's going to tell you about another educational offering that's starting today. But I also want to remind everyone that we also have, there's a video that we saw the last 2 weeks about a study that I'm teaching here in the Worship Center on the ruthless elimination of hurry. Today is the case for an unhurried life. But I'd love, Megan, go ahead and talk about what you're offering today.
Good morning. So today I am not focusing on kindergarten through eighth grade. I'm focusing on Jesus's little learners. So I'm kind of going to look over here. I see a lot. Oh, some little learners over there. So I'm starting a Bible study. It's for 2 weeks, and then we'll have it again each quarter for like 2 weeks. But it's a Bible story to help kind of foster faith at home, talk about parenting with love and grace, and just some resources for parenting, along with just enjoying fellowship with each other and joining in with each other. So I hope you can join me down in the toddler room this morning.
All right. Thank you, Principal Dinas. And another Bible study I want to put on your radar. It's in the bulletin, a women's Bible study on the second and fourth Monday, led by Denise Kasten. It's Bob Goff's book about getting rid of distractions. And so there's more details in the bulletin on that, or you can talk to Denise Kasten to find out more information. But again, I encourage you this day, please get to know the family of Christ around you. If you can set aside some of your hurry of where you might be going off to next, if you have time for a Bible study, please join us today. But otherwise, I pray you have a blessed week and rest in the Lord. Have a good day. God's blessings.